Where does the Bible tell us that we need fresh air? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host for this series on health and healing. My conversation partners are health professionals from the Walla Walla Valley, Carl Bauer, MD with a specialty in gastroenterology and a master's in nutrition, and Donna Chin, RN, registered dietitian, also a master's in nutrition. Now, let's talk about air. It's a very physical thing. I don't know of anywhere in the Bible that it says we should get lots of fresh air. Or am I overlooking some things? If you had a devout believer who believed in Scripture, where would you go in Scripture to tell them, take a deep breath?
I think it's sort of like water. You know, we have to use the brain that God gave us to realize that air is important. In fact, we die in about 4 minutes if we don't have it. So it's critically important for survival. But even more important, the air that we breathe can be polluted by man and is in much of the world. And that has some incredible results.
What are the best ways? I mean, let's talk from a standpoint of responsible citizens at this point. What are things that we can do to ensure better quality of air where we live around the world? If we were to dream dreams about what needs to be done, this ties in with our conversations earlier about the environment, but let's focus in especially on air. What can I do in my house? What can I do in my garden? What can I do in my town, in my valley, to make sure that we have enough fresh air?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is plant trees. I have to honestly say that those who know me know that I love trees, and it's probably the reason I bought my house. I very much enjoy them, and having been raised in the South where foliage grows freely, maybe a little bit more so than it does in the Walla Walla Valley, I very much crave that green and that that brings. It also, one of the things when you talk about fresh air, whether you're at work in an enclosed environment or if you happen to be in your home, one of the best ways to clean your air is with green things, and I mean by plants. So those are some of the ways that we can cleanse and improve the quality of air that we are breathing, no matter where you live, as you can learn to develop a green thumb and have the beauty of a plant.
Why don't you tell us how plants clean the air?
Through negative ions. Actually, when you go into the woods, there is a certain fragrance and a certain refreshing that most people feel from that. And a lot of that is through something called negative ions, and that your green plants emit that. I always thought it was very fascinating that it was negative ions, because I always thought it was a positive thing. It's kind of a backwards thing. But actually, that is what science tells us is the best thing for us. And it actually is very helpful to cleansing the air that we breathe.
Plus the fact that plants use the carbon dioxide that we emit as animals and humans, and they turn that into oxygen. And oxygen is the key element in the air we breathe that provides us with the health we need. So plants do a lot of good things for us. The negative ion idea is also a fascinating one, but that's a biochemistry process that we would probably not best talk about here today.
As you look at the world, I read somewhere that, for instance, Haiti, and right as we're recording this, Haiti still looms large because of the earthquake. But if you looked at the island, Haiti, you know, the Dominican Republic, lush green stuff, but as soon as you come to Haiti, everything has been stripped. There's no plant life. What can the international community do to help Haiti get back to growing things? What can the international community do to keep the Brazilians from cutting down all their trees? Now, I know that we invited you because you're health professionals, not politicians, but you are citizens. So what kind of dreams do you have as to what can and should be done? If trees are the answer to fresh air, then let's have more trees.
I like that thought, actually. I'm coming from a medical background, my interest in what is happening in Haiti has probably been more focused on the actual imminent need of medical care. And I hadn't actually thought about the environmental impacts completely yet, except from the standpoint of maybe making sure they have fresh, clean water and that sort of thing. But I have to admit, Alden, I hadn't thought as far as trees as of yet.
See, it strikes me that we have been so blessed in this country. And I don't know how one intervenes in parts of the world where they don't want us to intervene. It's a very complex issue, but I think our responsibility as Christians, that we ought not to simply rest on our own laurels, enjoy our own trees, and increasingly, the world is becoming a global community. What happens in Brazil affects us here. What happens in Africa, what happens in Afghanistan, it's very much connected.
It's true.
And if you work with local people, I don't know how many of you know, this is moving off a bit tangentially, but I don't know how many of you have read Greg Mortensen's Three Cups of Tea.
Yes.
We heard a special on him, Bill Moyers, just a few weeks ago. And as they were laying plans, and by the way, it's encouraging because even the Army and others are beginning to talk to him now. You know, he's building schools over there for Shiite girls, of all things. And when asked why in the world for girls, he said, because girls carry the power. If you're going to go on a jihad, if you're a young man who goes on a jihad, you have to get permission from your mother. So if you educate the girls, then it really works well. And he told about an area deep in Taliban country, where as they were laying long-range plans, they said, maybe in another 20 years, we can think in terms of planting a school for girls there. And then they had a request from what they described as what ended up being a visit by 14 black-robed men, the village elders from that particular community. And they wanted to come and see the school for girls. When they got there, the first thing they saw was this beautiful playground. And they couldn't get them away from the playground. They rode in the swings. and finally, you know, they got a bit worried they wouldn't have enough time to see the school. And they said, no, we don't need to see the school. If you'll come and build a school with a playground like this, we will support you. See? And because they had worked locally and had won the confidence of the people there, it just made all the difference in the world. So my guess is if we're going to generate air, we need to make sure that we're working with the local people, and even some of the stuff post-Haiti, where there was another piece in the New York Times. So often, in our eagerness to do good, we will move in and do something without talking with the people. For example, a group of contractors come in. This was a woman who worked quite a bit in India. A group of contractors come in, build houses, and leave. Well, if they don't ask the people how they want their houses built and where they want the doors done, the people will knock a hole in the wall and put the door where they want it to be. So I think, again, if we want air, it's going to need to be a community project where we really take seriously other people, talk to them, listen to them, and so on.
I think that's really true and important, Alden. I've been impressed with the work of a number of international agencies, relief agencies that have moved their emphasis toward restructuring local communities in a positive way. World Vision, for instance, and Food for the Hungry, and ADRA, and Life Wind. These are all organizations that go into a community and enable the people to learn how to do what they need to do for themselves to have good health and to have agricultural expertise so that they can grow their own food, help them build wells so that they have good water, and are instrumental in really changing their lives for the better, as well as bringing them the good news. And so I think that those kinds of efforts will energize all of us to think more about our environment, the air, and our planet where we live in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes things happen in a very strange way. When I was in Switzerland a number of years ago, Switzerland's focus for ADRA is North Korea. That was where they'd done their work. They got contributions for their work from Migros, the big Swiss grocery chain, and from governments and so on. But as I heard the report there, it really struck me how important it is to bring the people on board. Their project was to build a bakery, and the bread would go to feed orphans. Well, then the next step they were doing was having retail outlets. Well, these people in North Korea had never needed to balance accounts before, and so they were learning how to, you know, work with checkbooks and so on, so it was really quite amazing. But the most astonishing thing was that they put up a map, an infrared map of energy usage at night. North Korea, absolutely dark. And so they'd come up with a plan where it was actually a methane furnace driven by bodily waste. And then to keep the furnace going, well, they had to build a greenhouse over. So by the time they got through, they not only heated the house, they brought the waste, bodily waste in, off from the fields, and they used then this to grow vegetables. And it was just an amazing thing how they were doing. And they also discovered that even though there was no direct, they knew that, you know, they didn't talk about religion, but they knew that they were religious people, and they said it was amazing how many of these communist leaders would come and talk to them about spiritual things. So I think if we would really realize the importance of the earth in which we live, talk to people, it would really make a huge difference. And I would hope that as a Christian community, we could do that. Now, there's one aspect here, and I'll just mention this in closing. Adventists believe that God created, and he will recreate the world. And there's been some fascinating stuff happened in the last 50 years about the tension between immortal soul concept and resurrection. Amazing stuff. Oscar Kuhlman, middle of the century, said creation and resurrection belong together because the body is good. Immortality of the soul is quite a different animal. It comes from Greek philosophy. So if we as Christians can recognize that the body is good, the world is good, and that we ought to take care of it and restore it, including every aspect, including air, trees, water, all of that stuff, then I think that we can make a significant difference in our world. Well, our time is up. I want to thank our conversation partners, Carl Bauer and Donna Chin. They'll be with us again next week. My thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in for the good word. I'm Alden Thompson. If you would like to have access to Good Word programs online, I would suggest that you go to Positive Life Radio website, plr.org, look under Programs, Good Word. There you will find a full reference of the programs that we have done for this quarter and for previous ones as well.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.